Okay, so let's continue from the mission on Chav Zayin Amar Beis. So first, one point just wanted to mention. I didn't tell you to look it up, but just to mention to you now is we left. There was a question in there's a question why the Mishnah singles out Chorgo Levado. Okay, that was what Rashi was discussing. Chorgo is a stepson, so why does it have to say Chorgo Levado? That was Rashi's question. In other words, Chorgo is not mentioned in the Mishnah at all. Explicitly. It is implicit in the Mishnah because Chorgo is the same as Baal Imo, right? And Baal Imo is in the Mishnah. Chorgo is the inverse of Baal Imo. In other words, if I am the stepson to my stepfather. So once it says stepfather, right, then we know that if he's possible to me, I'm possible to him. So that means his stepson is possible. Okay, so then Chorgo doesn't have to be in the... So it's already in the Mishnah implicitly. And if you're going to tell me that it's mentioned to tell you that it's only Chorgo and not the children of the... and the sons and sons-in-law of the Chorgo, then it doesn't need to be mentioned for that. Because we only apply the rule of B'nei'em v'chasanei'em to the ones that are mentioned, not to the ones that are known by implication. So there's no reason to express Chorgo to negate Bona B'nei'em v'chasanei'em. Just Lishtok Minei. Lishtok Minei. Lishtok, if the Mishnah didn't mention it, I would know it because of the inverse of stepfather. And I would apply the rule of chasaneim of b'nei v'chasaneim because they're not. It's not the one that's mentioned in the Mishnah, so there's no reason to mention it. That was Rashi's question. So Rashi's answer was, there are a lot of things in the Mishnah that there was no reason to mention, and they mentioned anyway. So that's just the derech of the Mishnah. I mean, there's a lot of Rishonim go into this. He's just very confusing. Overkill for us. I mean, we have to just stay a little bit above getting into the dake dakos. The fine points. We'll never emerge from that. We go through all of the different possibilities of how to learn this. But anyway, so Rashi basically gives it up. I mean, other Rishonim try to work out why every single case is necessary. You know, it's like a whirlwind. So, but I just wanted to point out to you, Tosos has an interesting possibility here. He quotes the whole Rashi. Seems like there's a repetition of Tosos in here. Like the two Tosos are practically the same. But anyway, take a look at the first one. He says, V'yesh Loma. See the middle where it says V'yesh Loma? And the first Tosos, yeah. V'yesh loma d'tanye la'ashmo inon de havi levado. Or who levado? V'lo b'no v'chasano. Okay, so it is to tell you that it's only him and not his children and sons-in-law. V'yaf agav de b'neim v'chasaneim lo koi ahanach de asu michlola. But that was the whole problem. We said that the rule of b'neim v'chasaneim isn't applied to the ones who are only implied in the Mishnah. Mikol makom b'chorgo itzrich. But you still needed, the Mishnah still needed to teach you by chorgo. D'solkodai d'chamina kevan d'chorgo kibino. Since the stepson is like the son, ha-ve'uben ha-ben posel, and your son's son is posel, like we say in Yesh Nochlim, Ema Dehu Adin Ben Chargo, Kamash Malan. So Tosus has an interesting possibility. That what? That there's a Havamina, even though the general rule is that we don't say B'neim V'chasaneim to the ones that are not in the Mishnah explicitly, but there's a Havamina by Chargo, that his son would be possible. Why? Because chorgo is kibbeno, and ben haben is pasul.
What is that?
Chorgo was not in the Mishnah. Let me just clarify this. Now, it's Tosa saying there's a havamina that if the Mishnah didn't mention chorgo and say levado, I would have thought that chorgo that the son of the choreg would be pasul. I would know chorgo because of balas imo, so that means stepfather, and implies stepson. And I would think that a stepson automatically is going to have a psul of his son, because he is like a son to me, and a son's son is psul. So that's why the Mishnah had to say no. Even though chargo is your stepson, there's no din of ben chargo. But it means to say that there's a havamina. Tosfos is trying to say there's a havamina by chargo that it's different than any other relation, and you would think that there should definitely be a psul of ben chargo, not choson of the chargo. Apparently,
And where do
only
you
the
get
ben
that?
of
Why
the
is that
chargo.
different? Isn't that everything like that? Don't we say everything extends to the sun? So Ben Chargo is possible. Is not
Is
possible.
not possible. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The ben choreg is not possible. It was a havamina. He wants to say that the ben choreg would be possible, even though the choreg is only through implication, and we don't apply the rule of b'neim v'chasanim to implications. But over here, it's like we're coming with an idea that chorgo is like your son, and then we would apply the general rule of what a son is. Havamina is like this. In other words, we're trying to say is like this. This is the what is this? This is the Friedman-Berwalt proposition.
We're putting out a paper on it pretty soon.
They want to say like this, that you have to visualize it, that it's an interesting havamina then, and we can work it out. Okay, I think we can work out a svara. That what's the question is really, what does ishto kibayla mean? Okay. So I'll give you a possible explanation that would make your step grandson possible to you, but not your son-in-law's son. Okay? So you gotta view it like this. Now is ishto bala ke ishto implies a certain shifting of the man to the woman's place. Okay? In terms of lineage. So if she has a son and a grandson, right, and he steps into her shoes, so now he has a son and a grandson. Okay? In a certain sense. It's got the foghorn ringer. It's very popular these days. But if you have a daughter, right, and she gets married to somebody who already has a son, so now your son-in-law, he shifts over to your wife, but not his children. His children don't shift over. Why would they shift over? You understand? In order to move, you have to have marriage. Marriage is required for motion.
Why don't
Okay.
we go over and down?
Because they're not
I mean,
married.
Leia takes on the.
Very first.
Leia takes on Jake.
Yeah, so Jake and
So why
Leia,
wouldn't Avram take on
Jake couldn't be
Jake?
made on Le on Leia.
So why wouldn't Avraham take on Jake also? I mean, if Leia's taking on Jake and Avraham is Leia's father, then Avraham should also take on Jake.
No, because if Leia moves over here, she's going to leave Avraham behind. In other words, it's whether you're grabbing it at the head or at the tail also has to do with it. Now, we're saying like this. If you're coming into something, that was the Havamina. That ishto, that bala ki ishto means that he'll step into her shoes. Okay? But it's only the act of ishus that's creating the transfer, the motion, so to speak. Okay? It doesn't drag along all of your lineage. So if you're stepping in at the top, you're marrying Sarah, so then you'll take over her place as a mother and a grandmother. But if you, as a father, are marrying someone's daughter, right? So we'll say you'll move over to the daughter, and her father will be like your father, but it doesn't drag along your kid.
It's like
2 steps. You're not masking, or you're not hopping?
Let me put you, you have to
understand one thing. When we say that Baila is Ke'ishto, that is only a legal fiction. That's what we call a legal fiction. Okay? Or what we call de jure, not de facto. Ooh. He is not in fact like his wife. He is legally like his wife. Okay? According to the law, not according to the fact. Okay, so in other words, there's a certain legal idea that we say, legally we shift him over here, and legally we'll shift him over here, but it's not in reality. We're not saying that all of the. You can't draw out the logical consequences of this. You can't say, well, since Gil shifted over to Leah, Jake shifted over. No. That's a different operation. That would require something else. All we say is...
I think they're like focusing too much on the arrows, and like, I don't know, like, I'm not... What I'm seeing is like, Yitzchak is related to Avraham, because Yitzchak's related to Sarah, and Avraham's related to Sarah. So Gil is also related to Avraham, because Gil is related to Leah,
right.
And Leah is related to Avraham.
Yes.
So it's through one.
Good.
Through a person. So the same thing that we have for Yitzchak, that his kids would be related to Avraham, the same way we would think that Gil's kids would be related to Avraham. I mean,
Gil's kids.
If you draw it in a different way, then you'll... The question... It's just a matter of how
you
drew it.
No, it's not. It's not just a question of how we drew it. The point is, in order for Jake to be in line with Avraham, it requires two motions. It requires Gil to move and Jake to move. Where do you see in the law of Baila Ke'ishto that it also moves legally the lineage. But over here you don't. You only need one motion. You only need Avram to be considered like Sarah. That automatically pulls in everyone else. This requires two steps. It requires us to make an implication. Since he is like Leah, then legally we apply the same operation to his son. Why? Who says that? No one said that. No one said that. But over here, there's only one legal operation, and that is that Avram steps into Sarah's place. Look, if Gil steps into Leah's place, that doesn't mean that means he's abandoning his kid.
Oh, so you're saying there's two people moving in the case of...
Yeah, right? You think I know better.
He's ditching his kid. Okay?
So you're saying there's two people moving in this case.
Exactly.
As opposed to the first,
exactly.
The first case, there's really just Avram who's moving into the place.
Right. So it could be that that's the Havim, you know, that Baila Ke'ishto is limited to, that the Baila Ke'ishto works by Yaakov, but won't work by Jake, because Baila Ke'ishto means that the man steps into the woman's place, and therefore if she has a pre-existing lineage, he'll take over that lineage too, but it won't work by the son-in-law. But the maskana is not that way. The maskana is that ishto kibayla is only a din by the husband and the wife themselves. It doesn't have any implications to their offspring. In other words,
Leah is moving into Gil's.
Even Avram is not related to Yaakov. So then Avram would not be related to Sarah's grandchildren. So can we define that a little bit, the maskana a little bit better now? Because the Havamina was that it's limited by the operation. Maskana is, you're good.
Do we still have Jake related to...
So in other words, the Havamina is, I'll just give you a definition, okay? Might not satisfy you right now, but I'll give you a definition. Ready? Definition? The Havamina is that the operation of Baila, the operation of marriage, sort of transposes him to her position in terms of relations. So he'll then you have to look at her, right? If she was related to Yaakov in a second step, he'll be related to Yaakov in a second step. In other words, the marriage is like enters you into a certain position that she has. Okay? In other words, but the Maisa of the Kiddushin, the marriage, sort of gives you a new status. It's a method of entering into the family. Okay, by marriage, he entered into this family, and now what's his place in this family? At the top of this of these three generations. Okay? But logically, and I'm stressing this because I'm gonna give you an alternative view, but logically, the marriage is sort of it causes something. It puts you into a place. The marriage, being married, puts you into a certain place of equality with her. Okay? What's the maskana? And then you relate to Yaakov. What's the maskana? The maskana is that the maisa of marriage creates relations. Marrying a woman makes her like a karov to you, and that maisa of kedushin is only tofes her immediate relations. In other words, the act is sort of you can describe it. You can describe what happens via marriage in two ways. Okay? You can describe it in a somewhat passive way, that when I marry, I enter into her position. Okay? That's one way. That's the first way we're saying. It's like a way for me to get into the family. Married in. How are you in the family? I'm married into the family. Okay? But once you're in, you're in. Now you're like the father of Yitzchak and the grandfather of Yaakov. The other way to say is like this, that the maisa of kiddushin is a maisa of grabbing of creating a relation. When you take a wife, it's a more of an active description. When you take a wife, you're taking her as, and you're making her part of your family. Now, how far does the take go? When you take your wife, you're making her an immediate karov to you, and but that maisa lekicha is also tofes whoever she is directly related to. So when Avram is tofes Sarah, so to speak, the Maisa Kedushin is also Toface Yitzchak.
So would you be related to the Giso?
But you would not be related... Yeah, Giso is also included. Any direct relationship of her, anyone who's directly related to her, who's definitively her Karov, because that's like a quality in her. Right? That's like an existing quality in her.
Right, we don't have a lima for the grandson.
No, right. So now he is creating a new form of let me clarify a little bit better. In other words, does the marriage enter you into the regular idea of krovim? But there's a new way to become a father. By marrying the mother, you become like a father. Or is it a different din of krovus, a different din of a karov? It's a karov of marriage. Okay? And the karov of marriage, the relatedness of marriage, is toface everyone who's definitively a karov of Sarah. So any first relationship of Sarah is included in the grabbing, in the tfisa of the marriage itself. So when I take a wife, I'm making a karov, but I'm not the grab, the circle doesn't extend just to the wife, it extends to her immediate krovim. But it's a new type of a relationship. So you can't argue anymore. Well, since you're related to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak's lid. No, that's an argument based on regular rules of Krovim. But this is a new form of Krov, of Karov. It's a Karov of Ishus. And the Karov of Ishus is defined by the extent of the reach of the chalos of the kedushin. The kedushin, in a sense, is chal not just on your wife but on her immediate relations. So now it's like you're married in a sense to her and her immediate relations. That's but you're not related to Yaakov. So that's the maskana. The maskana, and that was the havamina, was that ishto baila ki ishto is like an entree into the regular rules of krovim. It's like a way in to Krovim. So if I get in if you marry Sarah, you'll become like the father to Yitzchak, and then I can argue, well, the father of Yitzchak's I could argue if I'm a karov of Yitzchak, I'm a karov of his son. That would mean to say that the Ishus was just like an efficient cause to get you into relatedness to her lineage. Right? But now we're saying, no, Ishus is a substantial cause. That is the relationship. Marriage. The only thing is, we say, you don't just marry your wife. You're, in a sense, the effect of the marriage extends not just to her, but to her immediate family. So there's a certain din of the Ishus that extends to her immediate family, and that itself is the relationship. You know the difference between the substantial cause and the efficient cause? The efficient cause means the carpenter who made this table, right? You needed him to make the table, but then once the table is here, it doesn't matter if he ceases to exist, right? He just effected it. Efficient. Effected it. Okay? But the substantial cause is what the thing is exact, what is actually giving it its continued existence. So the wood and the materials are the substantial cause. So in this way, you can look at it like this. Now, is marriage like an efficient cause? It puts you into relationships. But then we don't care about the fact that it's a marriage. That was just how you got in. Now we rule it. Now we just go with the general rules. Or do we say, no, marriage itself is the substantial cause. That is the relationship. You are only related as far as we can extend the effect of the marriage. That's as far as the relationship goes. So we say that there's a certain idea of the chalos of the kedushin itself that extends that will include not just her but who she is essentially related to, because that's part of who she is.
But what about the other way? What's about the with the son-in-law who brings in the...
So it's vaday na. I mean, if this way... So we'll say that you're related... He's going to be related to her.
Sarah is
he's going to be... No,
wrong.
So you're right. So there'll be two circles.
He married her, so that'll include him. And she married him, so that'll include him. But they don't miss.
Okay.
Yeah,